This is the Mr. Chris MIE Motivational Podcast, episode number 16. Let's go.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up, go up, go up, go up, go up.
Nothing can stop me, I'm all the way up.
Welcome to another episode of the MIE Podcast. And this whole podcast is about motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. And a little bit different from my dance podcast, where in this one, I try to take stories from the dance world and then make it relatable to whatever world you're in. Like if you're listening to this, because the truth is, dance is what I do. I'm a teacher, I'm a choreographer. But at the same time, I'm also striving to be the best me that I can be. And I think across the board, no matter what profession you're in, no matter what you're trying to do, you can relate, right? If that's what you're trying to do. So, I mean, if a motivational podcast is what you're looking for, you have found a podcast today. And it's the MIE. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for all of my listeners. Shouts out to everybody downloading this podcast. I see every time I put out one of the MIEs. Well, first, my wife is just loving the MIEs. It's one of the reasons why it really encourages me to keep doing it. Because it's my wife and she's right there, right? You know what I mean? And your wife or your spouse or your significant other or even your good friend, you know, they will always be the one to give you honest feedback. And I trust her and it's very encouraging to me. So just even before we get into the points of this podcast, that's just, you know, a side note. You know, really, really, really listen to the people that are close to you when they give you hints about what you should be doing, right? Because they're not gonna or what you need to stop doing. You know what I mean? And I'm thankful because I do have a wife, a best friend, a spouse that will give me honest feedback. And, you know, and she really gets excited about the MIE podcast. She's like, for her life, she's like, she tells me, you go to bed, I need to listen to this for my life so I can get myself, you know, something out of that. So that's just, I mean, you know, man, I mean, if it never touches anybody else in this world, I'll know that I did put out something valuable that my wife loves, you know what I mean? And so that just, you know, makes me feel all good inside. So shouts out to my baby for listening to this podcast and for all of you. And so this one, this podcast, it actually, there's a whole bunch of things going on right now in my personal life where I'm looking to take things to the next level. You know, as a family, we're looking to take things to the next level. And I was also, at the same time, while that's happening, we're just getting started back with dance, and I have a dance magazine that comes to the house called Dance Spirit. So in there, I always like to look at articles in there that has something to do with the hip-hop world. Like whenever they post something or put somebody on the front cover, I always like to look deep into that story because you find so much into that. So I just did a podcast, episode number 92, about a dancer from a crew called 8 Flavors. Her name is Charlize Glass. And it was just talking about how she morphed in, you know, from a younger dancer, and now, like, I think she was with 8 Flavors when she was like 8 years old, and they went on America's Best Dance Crew, did all this cool stuff. Now she's 16, 8 years later, and she's still going, still growing, still doing great things in the dance world. And so I did that podcast just talking about the moves that 8 Flavors had in their group that dance teachers can kind of, you know, look at and remember and train their kids in, because it's all technique, it's all acros, flips. They had B-girls in the group and stuff like that. And if you're not in the dance world, you might be listening to this section like that. I don't know what you're talking about, but it's okay because I'm going to tie it in, you know, real quick. So anyway, so I did that whole podcast, but then I was reading an article and something jumped out to me, that I could relate to, and so I wanted to share it with you. So Charlize was on tour with a choreographer named Brian Friedman. And Brian Friedman is a very awesome dance teacher, great choreographer, lots of personality. But she's working with him. She's actually on tour with him now, and she's his assistant. But in that journey, there was something she said. I was like, oh, that is so good. But she was talking about a situation where she was out with him, and then Brian was saying that Charlize would get real nervous in certain situations, right? So she's assisting him, she get nervous. And he was like, you know, but she had a breakthrough. So he put her in a situation. I think he said it was like one of the last cities that the tour was on. And he was, you know, like in the dance world, they'll break up into different groups. And he said he had a group of older dancers that were out there dancing. And then all of a sudden he was like, he didn't have enough older dancers. So he looks over and he brings in Charlize to join this group. And he was like, at that moment, right, when she faced that fear, because she was like, wow, I mean, I don't even know, you know, if I can hang with these guys. You know what I mean? They're all older dancers, they're more experienced. I'm younger. I'm not afraid. Fear, right? Face-to-face fear. And so it's at that moment, she had a breakthrough. And when I read that, I was like, God, that's so I could, not only can I relate to it, but I can feel it. I can feel that situation for myself. Also, even as being a dance teacher, there's a lot of times that my wife and I both, as you know, we had to put younger dancers like immediately into a dance, into a routine where they were with older dancers. I mean, I'm talking about like one day notice. Like yesterday you was dancing with the 8 and 9 year olds, and then today we walk in and whatever happened, one of the dancers left or somebody, you know, and we're like, guess what, you know, get ready, you about to go in this dance. They're like, now the thing about the dance world is the younger dancers always kind of look up to the older dancers. So when we're running dances, you know, you look at it and they want to be that. They're like, oh man, I love this part, I love that, right? But if you were to, you know, tell them you're going to be in that dance, they know how hard the dance is, how good the dancers are, and they immediately look at themselves like, there's no way that I can get in there. So that alone, I've seen it time and time again, where dancers have to do that. And I love to see them, you know, using the word that was in the article, I love to see them morph from a baby to a beast, is what the article said. Like when you know as a teacher that they have it in them, but it's so cool to see them realize their potential and realize that when they're facing that fearful situation, that on the other side of it is greatness. They can, all they gotta do is press through. So I titled this podcast Facing Fear, because, you know, there's some situations in my life that I'm dealing with where there's some things that we're going for where it's like, yo, these are some big dreams right here you wanna do. And a lot of times fear just comes in, like you're not gonna be able to do that. You know what I mean? It's too big of a dream. Who do you think you are to try to do this type of thing? And I always go back to not only stories like that, like Charlize, stories like fearful situations that I put younger dancers in that I know that they were scared in a mug, but I've seen them come out on the other side. And also myself, like when I travel around to schools, one of the things I talk to the kids about is this whole situation that I had in school where, you know, I had to go into what's called a freestyle circle, where basically, you know, you go out into a circle and there's hundreds of kids all around you who basically, I mean, they aren't necessarily rooting for you. They want to know what you're about to do. Like, you know, what's finna go on? And that right there was my introduction to the dance world. Like right off the bat, once I learned the moves, going into a freestyle circle was like, man, I was so scared. I mean, it was one of my... And then I tell the kids too, just about my self-confidence was low, not because of dance. Dance actually helped me get my self-confidence back. My self-confidence was low because, you know, I stuttered real bad in school, wasn't the best dressed, you know, like a lot of my clothes came from Goodwill. And I know now, I mean, it's cool to shop at the thrift stores now, but back then, I mean, if you didn't have something new, you know, everybody talked about you. And so that was me. I was that kid. And, you know, just didn't really want to put myself out there like that, because I felt like I had so many things wrong with me that I don't want to shine the spotlight on me anymore, you know what I mean? But at the same time, this other world was going on in my life, which was called dance. And I was learning all this cool stuff, and it was like a fantasy world to me. Like, I'm the only child, and I dove all in. I was like, where did this come from? What is this? And so because of that world, I'm actually doing what I'm doing now. Right, speaking to you, public speaking, traveling the world, doing choreography, teaching, inspiring kids. But it came from, every time I think back, though, you know, I put myself in those situations because it was what I wanted to do, but it brought out something in me that I didn't even know was there. So, like I said, the title of this podcast is Facing Fear, and basically, I just want to go through a couple points. I want to give you some tools to use when you face fear, right? Because we're all going to do it. I mean, it's going to happen. Like, even after this podcast, tomorrow, something may come up that, I mean, it strikes fear in you, right? It's a normal thing. But it's how you deal with it. It's what tools you use to get you out of that situation that might be helpful on this podcast. So here it is, what to do when you face fear. I got 4 points that I kind of wrote down just from some stories that I remember. I mean, I have so many in my head, but just from the ones that I remember. So here it is. Number one, I heard this a long time ago, and it goes like this. Just know that whatever you're afraid of isn't real. Whatever you are afraid of is not real. I heard a definition that said of fear means, and so I don't know who created this, but I love it. They said fear means false evidence appearing real. Fear, false evidence appearing real. So what does that mean? It's like, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're facing, just like I said, there's things that I want to do in this next year, going into 2018, that I'm gonna do. But at the same time, there's that fearful side of it's not gonna happen. Well, you know what? It is gonna happen because we're gonna make it happen. That's why it's gonna happen, right? But the fear of it not happening, you just have to know that it's not real. There was a group that I was in a long time ago. One of our goals that we were trying to do is to go out to Los Angeles and get a recording contract. And so, you know, we practiced, we did our thing, went out there and had some failures, right? Because, you know, we were fresh out of high school and you know, this was a new journey for us. So you're going to fail. You're going to do some things wrong. That's a whole another podcast. But this particular one, I remember having conversations about, like, when we would get close to signing record deals or doing certain things, we would always have this conversation with each other about, like, you know, we gotta go all in because this may be the only chance that we will have, right? This might be it. We gotta, you know. And that whole, you know, it's funny now that I'm removed from that. Time has passed, and I've had many opportunities, second chances, third chances, for, you know what I mean? But there's something in you that gets you, when you get afraid, you think like that, this is it. You know what I mean? This is the only chance. And so I just want to encourage you that whatever it is you're afraid of, that whole being scared of this is it, it'll never happen if it doesn't happen today, is not real. Right. And so I think once you get that in your mind and you know that it's a long journey, you know what I mean? You're playing long ball. You're not just doing it for today or tomorrow, the next day, for even 2018. But I'm talking about, you know, 2050. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, it's long, play long ball and know that you're going to be, I mean, God willing, if you're still living, you're still on this earth, know that you're still going to be doing this thing until the day you die. And I think just realizing that gives a certain ease to you where you're like, you know what? I mean, I'm in this, hey, till the wheels fall off. I don't care how many times I fail. I don't care. So there's nothing to be scared of, right? Because I'm gonna hit this when I get done. You know what I mean? I'm on to the next one. But I'm going to keep going. Nothing's going to stop me. So just knowing that, my first point, that it's not real, whatever you're afraid of, and it's not the only time you're going to get it, I think gives you a little bit comfort, you know, when you're facing that fear. Number two. Second point that I have that I've had to live is depend on the skills that got you there. When you're facing fear, depend on the skills that got you there. My wife and I, we're in the middle. This is an ongoing conversation. And what I mean by that is it's like we have it, you know what I mean? But then something else comes up, we have it again. Right? It's an ongoing thing. It's not a one-time conversation, but it's us reminding ourselves of what we do best, right? And sticking to that. And there's so many things that comes up that it's not what we do. And we throw our time in that. And you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, I think I told this story on the podcast too. Like, I'm not a good handyman around the house. I'm just not. I want to get things done. Right, but I'm not good. What I'm good at, I can go, I can come do this podcast. Right, I can write a song, I can do some choreography, I can write down. You know what I mean? That's what I'm good at. But when it comes to putting up a piece of drywall on my ceiling, I mean, you know, I'm just not. But somebody who is can come in 2 seconds and do that, and you just look at it and go, oh. Like, it's so good. We had a conversation yesterday with a principal at a school that we're talking about for our daughter. And it's like, I loved the comfort in hearing somebody else talk about what they know best, right? But fear always gets you thinking you can do, you know, you almost try to be, like, I heard this on a podcast the other day, like, they call it imposter syndrome, where, you know, and it was talking to a group of podcasters on a panel, but I can relate, like, because even in the podcast world, when I first started this podcast, and a lot of you can hear, like, a difference from my first ones until now, where when I first started, I thought I had to be, you know, all of these other people that I listen to. Matter of fact, that was one of the things that prevented me from even starting the podcast, because I listen to so many podcasts. I'm like, I don't even sound like, you know, such and such. I'm not as good as this other person. You know what I mean? So why am I even doing it? And no, the thing that, you know, even that my wife loves most is that this podcast is just me. It's just us. Like, these stories, it's what we're living now. It's what we're going through now. I'm not making up stories. I'm not trying to be anybody else, you know, but I have done that. And the thing that I have to remind myself is I got to depend on what got me there. What I do is what I do. And so it's the same for you. Like, there's things that you've done that you've put the 10,000 hours in. You put the work in. Depend on those things whenever you're facing fear. Like, seriously, like, know that that's what you have. You put in the work behind the scenes. Nobody was looking. That's what you're good at. Focus in on that, because when you do what you're best at, the rest will come, right? I go, if I do what I need to do financially, I'll have the money to pay somebody to do the things that I can't do, if that makes any sense. So when you're facing fear, point number two, depend on the skills that got you there. The whole article about Charlize is basically, you know, she was dancing when she was 8. She was on the cruise, she was on TV shows, all that. Now she's talking about being on tour with Brian Freeman at 16, his assistant. And she's like, you know, I'm afraid to, you know, get in the, you know, she was afraid to get into different groups. There's also another part on there where they had her on the convention work backstage. She had to put on the headphones and call out different dances and stuff like that. And she was like, you know, when I first did that, I was like, I wasn't too sure about it. But then the more I did, it got comfortable. But if you think about it, all of that she was doing before. Yeah, and I'm sure in her head and everybody's head, you gotta have that time when you go back in your past and go, I do this. I don't do everything, but this, I do this. So that's point number two. Point number three, we're talking about what to do when you're facing fear, giving you some tools that you can use that may help you get through whatever situation you're facing. Number three, have a ritual that gets you in the zone. Whatever that is, know what it is. And I'll give you a hint. It's something that you've been doing the whole time, right? Something that you've been doing that gets you ready, that gets you focused, gets you pumped. Because when you're going into that situation, you're gonna not only you have depend on skills to get you there, but you got to get in the mindset to get you there. I used to do a thing, my friends used to laugh at me, but I used to do a thing that whenever we would get ready for a show, and I would be backstage, I would do what I like to call the Bruce Lee stretch. The Return of the Dragon Bruce Lee stretch. So from when I was like 9, 10, I thought I was Bruce Lee. I would always be like, Bruce Lee's back, but he's black. I was straight up thinking I was gonna be the next Bruce Lee. And one of my favorite movies of his was Return of the Dragon. He was fighting Chuck Norris. And I don't know, you know, as a younger person, I don't know why this stuck out to me. But, okay, first of all, the fighting scene by itself is the coldest, one of Bruce Lee's coldest fighting scenes ever with him and Chuck Norris. But the thing that stuck out to me at a young age was how he prepared for that fight. So, like, the whole movie, he has different fights with the nunchucks, and he's going through, you know, just taking care of the bad guys. But when he got ready to face Chuck, the final fight, it's this whole scene that he goes through where he's stretching, he's warming up, he's shadow boxing, and that, I mean, just the whole time, the anticipation, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, here he go, you know what I mean? So, but that right there, I took that with me for the rest of my life. Like, once I seen that one time, actually, I seen the movie probably about 200 times, but after the first time I seen it, I mean, every situation that I was in, you know what I mean? Especially when I got into the entertainment field and start performing live, I'd be on the side and I'd be like, man, I'm scared. I'm nervous right now. But what I do, I'd be like, duh, duh. I had the music in my head and I'm Bruce Lee in Return of the Dragon for about, it would take me about 10 minutes to go through these stretches. I hit that stretch and the last one, you know, I put my hands behind my knees and my face go into my knees and I'm like, whew, throw the shoulders down a couple minutes, click the head side to side, and everybody around me like, here you go, he ready, you know what I mean? But that was my ritual. Find you a ritual when you're facing these fear. I mean, you know what I mean, you don't have to be Bruce Lee dancing around, but what is it, what gets you in the zone? Might be listening to podcasts, it might be music, it might be working out, whatever it is, but realize, use that time to get you focused for this fight that you're about to take on, for this venture, for this journey that you're about to do. Use that ritual. There's a show on called Dance Moms. It's not on anymore, but it was on a while ago. It's on Hulu, right? But one of the things I loved about Dance Moms, the girls on the side of the stage, they had this little thing that they would do where they'd be like, you know, when they get nervous, they'd be like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4. They had this thing and they're shaking their hands, shaking their feet. Love that. I love the preparation for the battle because it's, you know, it's ready. So when you're facing fear, what's that ritual? Yeah, find one, do one. One that'll get you in the zone, get you ready. Number four, my last point. When you're facing fear, think about time. Think about time. Me and a buddy of mine, we used to always say this whenever we had a performance. We would be like, just think. Like, say if it was the day before the performance, we're like, just think. This time tomorrow, it'll all be over. Or sometimes we'll be on the side of the stage and we'll be like, check it out. Like, you nervous. The intro music on, you like, oh my goodness, here it is. And he would always come over to me and be like, just think. And like however long our show was, like, so if we was doing like an hour show or 30-minute show, he would be like, in 40 minutes, we will be off the stage, towels around the neck, chilling, thinking about how great a performance that was. And that right there would always get me to put things in priority. It was like, get things in focus for me. I'll go, that's right. That's right. Time flies, right? And whatever you're thinking about now, whatever has you afraid, you know, whatever you're facing right now, it's not going to last forever, right? So go into that thing knowing that it might be long, whatever it is. The battle might be not a quick one, but it doesn't matter because it's not going to last forever, right? And so that was one thing that I used to get me when I was facing fear. I always thought about whatever I was afraid of that was right in front of me. I thought about time and the fact that time is it goes by fast and it's going to be over. So you don't have anything to worry about, right? And that always got me inspired to go to and do whatever it was that I needed to do. So there it is. Those are the 4 points. Let me recap. Facing fear. Number one, know that whatever you're afraid of isn't real. False evidence appearing real. Number two, depend on the skills that got you there. The thing that you put in the work, the 10,000 hours in behind the scenes with nobody looking, you know what? It's going to be there for you when you need it. Number three, have a ritual that gets you in the zone. When you're facing fear, find that ritual. What is it? Do it. Live it. Let it be important to you. Let it be something that you hold dear to yourself. Like, don't let anybody take that from you. Like, everybody's, you know, reaching at your time. There's 1,000 things that you want to do. But realize, I need to do this. So it's just like my wife. She's like, I need to listen to this podcast because I got some things that I'm facing down the road. So I need this for my life. That's my ritual. You know what I mean? So what is yours? And then last one, number four, think about time. Time flies. Not just when you're having fun, in general. So whatever it is you're thinking about, you're afraid of, it won't last long. So you can go in and knowing that you're going to come out a better person on the other side. But go through it. Don't be afraid. It's false evidence appearing real. That's all I got for you. It's your boy, Mr. Chris. And this is the MIE Motivational Podcast. Hopefully, it motivated you, inspired you, and gave you a little bit of encouragement as we wind down 2017 and go into 2018. Don't be afraid of nothing. Let 2018 be the year that you live your fullest you. The 100% you that you are. Live in that fullness in 2018. And on that note, I'm out.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up, go up, go up, go up, go up.
Nothing can stop me, I'm all the way up. All the way up. I'm all the way up.